1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Republicans will control the White House and the Senate, and there's still a chance they'll maintain their majority in the House. One-time presidential hopeful Vivek Ramaswamy tells ABC's This Week his Republican Party is now a broad, multi-ethnic coalition and explains why it has room to grow.
Nothing's going to unite this country more than economic growth. Nothing is going to unite this country more than people feeling like their wages are rising at a faster pace than prices, which hasn't been the case for the last few years.
President-elect Trump will meet with President Biden Wednesday as planning for his second term continues. He announced overnight on social media that Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo, who served in his first administration, will not serve in his second. A New York State forest worker was killed Saturday fighting a wildfire as fires continue to burn in the Northeast, fueled by dry, windy conditions. Weather has calmed in Southern California, helping crews make progress on a Ventura County fire. This is ABC News. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's spoken to President-elect Trump three times since his election as Israel's war against Palestinians in Gaza continues. ABC's Britt Klenit has more from Tel Aviv.
Just this morning, a strike on a house in Jabalia, an urban refugee camp in North Gaza, has killed 36 people. That's according to Palestinian medics, including 13 children. Now, the IDF saying it, quote, eliminated dozens of terrorists there. 11 aid trucks have entered Jabalia. That's the first food and water arriving since a renewed offensive began on October 1st. All this as we approach the end of a 30-day deadline set by the Biden administration to improve the humanitarian situation there.
It's Championship Sunday in the U.S. in NASCAR. Four drivers, defending champ Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, William Byron, and Tyler Reddick, have a chance to win the title in the final Cup Series race of the season in Phoenix. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please tell me you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. New CDC data shows 3 out of every 4 high school students across the country say they've experienced at least one adverse childhood event. That can include violence in the home, parents separating, and any kind of abuse. Scientists are learning that these events can be connected to substance use disorders and even chronic illness or autoimmune problems. Nadia Ramlagan reports.
Research shows these experiences, called ACEs, can alter a child's brain chemistry and produce a prolonged, sometimes lifelong, toxic stress response. Licensed psychologist and member of Kentucky's Bounce Coalition, Joe Barjone.
We're seeing some of the same kinds of patterns, that increased sense of loneliness, isolation in our youth, increased levels of suicide ideation, exposure to violence, exposure to adverse childhood experiences.
Experiencing at least one ACE as a child is linked to having alcohol and substance use problems as an adult, as well as chronic diseases such as diabetes and obesity. Childhood trauma costs states. According to the National Governors Association, adults with ACEs can lead to billions of dollars in healthcare costs and lost productivity. Barjone adds schools can help address the youth and mental health crisis by cultivating a sense of belonging and connectedness, as well as increasing suicide prevention programs.
Promoting mental health awareness, teaching kids around social emotional learning and dealing with their emotions in an effective way, increase mental health services.
The most recent data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is only from 2018 to 19.
but it shows nearly 40% of Wisconsin kids had at least one adverse childhood experience. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has its Trauma Sensitive Schools Initiative, which helps educators help kids in public school districts. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Bob Dylan said that a hero is someone who understands the responsibility that comes with his freedom. This Veterans Day, Dan Reisner Excavating would like to thank the brave men and women who've served in our United States military. Dan Reisner Excavating, serving all your excavating and truck needs with over 40 years of experience. Call 920-897-2397 and visit them online today, danreisner.com.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues? Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A bit of a soggy Sunday out there with showers, a rumble of thunder, some drizzle too. Highs in the lower 50s, a southeast wind becoming west in the afternoon, and will turn a little gusty. Overnight, breezy, mostly cloudy in mid-40s. Sunshine returns on Veterans Day. Currently 49 degrees.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, it's not all doom and gloom. Jody Habish-Sinikin, Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. She won. Plus, Harvey Kay will talk about what happened and what comes next. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Happy to have us joining you for an extra special issue. This one salutes our veterans. Our cover story focuses on a man who served his country cooking for some of the finest military minds. We also have supporting military members who simply need to get home and learning about various programs offering music to veterans as a healing message. Melissa Kay tells us about a group that works tirelessly to create quilts for veterans, and Conrad Krieger looks at Hua. Amanda Nimmer helps us de-stress and recenter after one of the most anxiety-filled weeks ever. And Brittany Merlot tells us how we can help meteorologists. Plus, of course, Pete Schwabba and our classic cinema pick of the week. Let's open up this issue with a special Wisconsin-based project. Though fairly new, it's helping military members around the world. And there's a very personal story behind it. Terry Barr is here to tell us more. Terry?
Lisa, it's all about a ticket home. And for many young military members, it means everything. Coming home for a wedding, the holidays, a sick parent or grandparent. The Ben Jackson Foundation, and the person leading it is Ben's dad, Larry. I talked with him about the special reason behind this project.
Our mission is really about reuniting military families. And we do that by helping young people in the military travel home to see their family, to see their friends and loved ones when they're stationed somewhere across the country or across the globe. We help them by essentially being able to afford that ticket. A lot of times they're 18, 19, 20, just getting started. They can get some time off from work for the military, or they can get the leave. But many times they just can't afford to get that $2,000 ticket home from Okinawa or Japan or Germany and see their family. So that's what we're about, helping reunite military families. And we do that by making sure money's not a reason why people can't come back.
Oh, that's incredible. And I know I was reading on your website about the cost. And I think for anybody who flies, we know it can be expensive, but like you're talking about, in some cases, these are young men and women who are really just getting started. The idea of money can be such a big issue. Why did you focus on this particular part of the ticket home?
Our son, Ben, who the foundation is named after, graduated from high school in 2016, and then he went into the Air Force. After going through some school, basic training in school in Texas, he ended up going to Misawa, Japan. At one point, he said, "Hey, I'd like to come home and surprise everybody for a visit. Could you help me with a ticket?" Because a ticket from Japan was over $2,000 to get all the way back. So I'd been traveling for work quite a bit. So I had the airline miles to make that happen and get him a ticket. And when he was home, he told us that a lot of his friends were jealous because they just couldn't afford that ticket back. That didn't surprise me a whole lot, I guess, because I'm a veteran myself. So I understood that it can be expensive and they don't necessarily make a lot of money. Anyway, he went back to Japan. And about 6 weeks after that, we were notified that he was killed in an accident on base. So as a family, my wife and I, our daughter, Emma, and our son, Matthew, were talking about what to do. And Matthew's idea was, you know, Ben got to come home. We should help other people like him do that too. And we thought that was a great idea, and started the Ben Jackson Foundation with the purpose of making sure that people that wanted to come home could afford it and help them with their travel expenses.
What does that mean for that person to be able to get home? How special is that?
Give them a mental health break, give them a little bit of a refresh, yeah, and kind of build up their reserves of strength to go back and do what they're doing.
And Jackson tells me he's surprised by the number of people who don't realize members of the military typically have to pay for their own way home. Luckily, his foundation has raised enough money to fly more than 500 military members home in just the last couple of years. I'm Terry Barr.
My dear son, it's almost June. I hope this letter catches up with you and finds you well.
Helping veterans throughout the state of Wisconsin, HUA's main issue is focusing on suicide awareness for veterans. New Wisco Weekend's Conrad Krieger reports.
Chelsea Akokin from HUA talks how the community and HUA combat veterans suicide awareness.
I have been with the organization since 2014. My husband was actually one of the two co-founders back in 2013. And, you know, when they started this organization to help, it wasn't just we want to make a difference in the community. It was that, but they knew people around them and themselves that were struggling, right? And to have that perspective of two guys just in it who can speak to all of these things are available, but it doesn't feel exactly right on what we need. And that whole piece is being proactive and kind of getting ahead of it. You know, we're not suicide crisis prevention centers. There are those. They are wonderful. We want to start to build a community around people before they're getting to a place where they're not okay.
Akokin shares why veterans should ask for help when needed, and how HUYA can be a resource.
We pride ourselves on, you know, being humans behind it all and trying to make it work. So you're not who you used to be. You're having too many bad days, all of those things. And that's a piece that we love to kind of take a point on too, is we can talk with the families. If the families need the help, you know, we can share the resources so that they can bring them to them when they're ready. And the numbers, there's Mission 22 and those 22 veterans that we lose each day to suicide. You know, that's a number that was put out and is still very much a mission that people go after. And it's, you know, all the same mission. And so we have always followed the VA's report on statistics.
When HUYA was started, the two founders wanted to make a big difference in veteran suicide awareness. And one of the many ways they have helped with this is an event called the Veteran Suicide Awareness March.
When HUYA started in 2013, the two people that started it, they wanted to just make a difference and help veterans, right? So they were looking around at what could they do to raise funds, and this event is what happened. So in 2013 at Stadium View, they had 71 people show up, and it was like $11,000 or $13,000 that they raised, and that led to our first skydiving
you
event.
Raised,
so
wow.
I mean, and it just shows, and now we've grown to almost 1,000 people, over 1,000 people actually, and last year we raised, after our expenses, $235,000. Obviously, this event is not only about what it is, Veteran Suicide Awareness. But it's bringing the community together to show support for the families who have lost someone, to someone who's struggled on their own with those thoughts, and obviously then raise funds, but share resources as well. We'll have 20 plus different organizations along with ours there saying, here's what we have to help you. A part of our opening ceremony for each year since we've started is a speaker who has been touched by veteran suicide, whether it's their son, brother, you know, they share how they probably didn't see it coming. It's the saddest, scariest part.
That was Chelsea Akokin, who joined Mino and the Mayor. Mornings on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
I was just out of the service, thumbing through the classifieds, when an ad that said old Chevy somehow caught my eye. The lady didn't know the year or even if it ran, but I had that $1,000 in my hand.
This is New Wisco Weekend on 98.3 WISS and 97.9 WGBW.
To say this has been an interesting week is an understatement. To say that this has been a stress-filled week is an understatement. Our Amanda Nimmer joins us now with commentary on how you can de-stress and recenter.
Man, it's been a long week. Like, one of those weeks where it just feels like it was so much more than 7 days. 24 hours in a day? No, it felt more like 36. Oh, and I'm so glad that it's over, and I hope you guys do too. But we really need to just step back and take a break. And I'm going to walk you through one of the best ways to do this, because we need reset. We need to just breathe, take a moment, reset the blocks, and get back to hopefully a little bit mentally healthier sounding you. So what I would like you to do is to turn the electronics off. Put down your phone, take off your smartwatch, step away from the outlets, the media, your friends, your family. Step away and either go outside, preferably, or step out of the room that you're in and look around. Now, don't just scan real quick. I mean, like, actually look. Like, you kind of, it's going to kind of feel like your eyes are focusing on the real world for the first time. I'm not saying we're in a matrix. We could be in a matrix. But actually look around. Observe your surroundings real time right in front of you. And then go through all the senses. There's five of them. Hear what's around you. Smell the room around you, the outdoors around you. Feel the wind on your skin or touch a few books or shelves. And, you know, taste, sure, lick a few things if you must. Recenter yourself back into the reality that is your life, directly in front of you, live in 4D, and stay there for a while. Because disconnecting completely like that is going to honestly make you feel better. Now, this is actually a variation of a tactic people use to get out of an anxiety attack or a panic attack. Another way to do this is to look around the room and find five things that you can touch that might be fuzzy, three things that are red, three things that have a scent to them, and then you have to describe what the scent is. You can do that too, but in my opinion, and that's what this is my opinion, you have 3 minutes of it every weekend. The action of getting up and getting out, putting all these things down, removing yourself from the environment you're in and into a different room even, is going to be so much more impactful than just sitting and looking around. Because it's a bold action. It's a bigger action. And sometimes we need those just to remember the world can be a lot smaller if you put your phone and social media down, step away from the problem for a bit, recenter, refocus. And remember that we are only human. It's been a long week. It's been a long year. And we all deserve a moment. You've earned it. And speaking of deserving and earning, take a moment to call your loved one that has served in the military, both now and in the past. And just let them know you're thinking of them. You love them. Maybe you look up to them. And if you want, say thanks. So happy Veterans Day. Happy You Deserve a Break Day. And from New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Up and at 'em bright and early. I'm all business in my.
When we come back, John Mino has a D-Day remembrance and Brittany Merlot on how you can help meteorologists. But first, President Joe Biden just proclaimed 2024 as the 70th year that we're officially recognizing Veterans Day on November 11th. He wrote in part, quote, "Our military is the spine of our nation and their families, the courageous heart." This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, our cover story for this issue. But first, Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
Is there something about your living room that really ties it together? This week's movie is The Big Lebowski. The main character of the film is actually not The Big Lebowski, but a man who shares his name called Jeffrey Lebowski. But he refers to himself as The Dude. The Dude is a former roadie, big-time stoner, and avid bowler who is mistaken for The Big Lebowski. Due to the case of mistaken identity, the dude is out his living room rug, which he feels really tied the room together, man. Lebowski reluctantly enlists the help of his friends and bowling teammates, Donnie and Walter, in an effort to solve the caper. The dude finds out that the men who ruined his rug were actually looking for the Big Lebowski, who the dude visits in an effort to make things right or be compensated for his missing rug. The two Lebowskis could not be more different.
Are you employed, Mr. Lebowski?
Let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? His dudeness or duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, sir?
Employed?
You don't go out looking for a job dressed like that, do you? On a weekday?
Is this a... What day is this?
Well, I do work, sir. So if you don't mind...
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand, you know? This aggression will not stand, man.
The Big Lebowski is the creation of the legendary Coen brothers. They thought using the film The Big Sleep would be a good blueprint, but with an aging hippie as the main character instead of Humphrey Bogart's Philip Marlowe. The setting of the non-glamorous side of Los Angeles combined with a soundtrack that includes Bob Dylan, Creedence Clearwater, and the Eagles, and some great old prairie tunes gives the film an engaging hypnotic aesthetic, as does the narration and great cameo by Sam Elliott. You also can't beat the Coen brothers' unique dialogue, which is expertly delivered by actors Jeff Bridges as the Dude, Steve Buscemi as Donnie, and John Goodman as the crazy Walter. Thanks to the help from Walter, the dude accepts reluctantly, he makes the caper more complicated with his every move, and it's glorious. Julianne Moore is also hilarious as the Big Lebowski's daughter Maud. You know a film has a lasting impression when they actually have something called Lebowski Fest every year. The Big Lebowski is a critic's darling, quirky, and really fun world, and it's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
It was July hot in Georgia in 1942. All the men were off to war and the women had nothing to do.
One thing all veterans have truly had to deal with is the weather. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains how the entire community can help our meteorologists and scientists better understand storms.
Have you ever heard of COCORAS? Here, I'll say it again. COCORAS. Because there are hundreds of them all around you in the Fox Valley and located all throughout the state, even the country. It's a unique, nonprofit, community-based network of volunteers of all ages and backgrounds working together to measure and map precipitation. COCORAS is an acronym for the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. And you can be a part of it. It's a community project. Everyone can help, young, old, and in between. The only requirements are enthusiasm for watching and reporting weather conditions and a desire to learn more about how weather can affect and impact our lives. The network originated with the Colorado Climate Center at Colorado State University in 1998. They just celebrated 25 years last year. They have over 26,000 active observers in the United States, Canada, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam, and the Bahamas. It's truly a remarkable effort. You know the saying, rain doesn't fall the same on all. It really proves to be true. I mean, you've seen it before. You've gotten rain in your neighborhood, and then a few blocks away, not a drop has fallen. So each time a rain, hail, or snowstorm crosses your area, volunteers take measurements of precipitation from as many locations as possible. These precip reports are then recorded. Data is then displayed and organized for many people to analyze and apply to daily situations ranging from water resource analysis to severe storm warnings. So by volunteering to be a weather observer, you can help increase the density of precipitation data that's available throughout the area. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, and the National Science Foundation, NSF, sponsor COCORAS. And one of the neat things about participating in this network is that you've made an important contribution that helps others. By providing your daily observation, you help to fill in a piece of the weather puzzle that affects many across the area. Complimentary training is provided, and sometimes there's field trips, special speakers, picnics, potluck dinners, and photography contests are all a part of it too. So tell a friend or neighbor about this exciting grassroots effort of citizens measuring precipitation right in their own backyards. It's easy to join, takes only 5 minutes a day, and it's a fun way to learn about this wonderful natural resource that falls from the sky. These observations continue to give scientists an ever clearer picture of where and how much precipitation falls throughout our communities. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
John Mino is not just half of Mino and the Mayor on WISS and WGBW. He's also an author, and many of his books focus on veterans. Here's John Mino reading a D-Day remembrance from one of those veterans.
The green light coming on was a signal to stand up and hook up. You check the equipment of the guy ahead of you and yell out, "Okay." Then before you know it, you're standing in the door and it's your turn. I didn't have any trouble going out. You didn't have time to think about it. Right away, you looked up, saw that the chute was open. Then you looked down, and you saw the Germans shooting up at you. You kept thinking, just let me get to the ground. Let me have a chance to fight back. Don't let me get shot hanging in the air. Well, it didn't take very long to get down, which was probably a good thing. I smashed into the ground pretty hard, banged up my knee and ankle, but other than that, I was okay. I didn't know where I was, and I didn't see anybody else around me. All of a sudden, a flare went up, and it was as bright as daylight. I saw these 5 hounds grazing in the pasture, just standing there grazing like nothing was going on. They came walking over towards me, nosing around the way cows do, walked right up to where I was laying, just sniffing and slopping, checking me out. Well, the Germans had 2 machine guns set up covering that field, and all of a sudden they let loose. They had these tracers, and all you could see was a stream of light crisscrossing that field about 2 feet high. You ever wonder how low you can make yourself go? I couldn't have gotten any lower without digging a hole. I'll tell you that. Well, those poor cows took the brunt of it. Those machine guns kept going back and forth over the top of me, just slaughtering those poor cows. They were bellowing and moaning. One of the cows standing next to my parachute got cut up and went down between me and the guns. That gave me a little protection. Once they slowed down a little, I crawled to a hedgerow. I saw the Germans walk over to where I had been. I could hear them talking. I'm pretty sure they were saying, "He's gone, he's gone." We were going to knock out anything that was blocking the causeways. Some of the Germans we ran into were actually heading back from the beaches. I think once it got light, they could see all the ships out there in the water and how many troops were coming ashore and decided it was hopeless. But you know, nothing really worked out the way it was planned. From the time we hit the ground, it was chaos. You had to find a way to knock them out of the causeway any way you could, with anything you had. Same thing for the Germans. They had these big defense plans, but it just came down to one bunch of guys running around trying to kill a different bunch of guys. That's just the way it was. Orville Collins, 101st Airborne, Denmark, Wisconsin.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, a group that makes quilts for veterans. But first, the census shows Wisconsin is currently home to more than 330,000 veterans. Close to 25,000 call Northeast Wisconsin home. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Republicans will control the White House and the Senate, and there's still a chance they'll maintain their majority in the House. One-time presidential hopeful Vivek Ramaswamy tells ABC's This Week his Republican Party is now a broad, multi-ethnic coalition and explains why it has room to grow.
Nothing's going to unite this country more than economic growth. Nothing is going to unite this country more than people feeling like their wages are rising at a faster pace than prices, which hasn't been the case for the last few years.
President-elect Trump will meet with President Biden Wednesday as planning for his second term continues. He announced overnight on social media that Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo, who served in his first administration, will not serve in his second. A New York State forest worker was killed Saturday fighting a wildfire as fires continue to burn in the Northeast, fueled by dry, windy conditions. Weather has calmed in Southern California, helping crews make progress on a Ventura County fire. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A bye week for football fans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. No football this weekend in Wisconsin. Both the Badgers and the Packers have a bye week. Up next, Wisconsin hosts number one ranked Oregon. Head coach Luke Fickell on the Badgers' strategy.
You know, the whole idea, get it to the fourth quarter and put ourselves in a position where we feel like we can excel and execute in the fourth. Make sure that we got to go back to what it is that we do and continue to climb this mountain to get better.
The Packers making a surprise move this week, trading veteran Preston Smith to the Steelers for a seventh round pick. And it turns out Smith requested the trade. He explained why.
We switched to a 4-3 due to the new coordinator, but to be honest, a few weeks ago I requested a trade. I didn't feel like I was being useful in the system, and it wasn't catering to my play style. And moving forward, like I wasn't surprised when I got the call. I got what I asked for, and I'm at a great place with some great teammates. I'm excited for the new start, and I'm excited for the rest of this journey for this season.
That's now Steelers linebacker Preston Smith with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A bit of a soggy Sunday out there with showers, a rumble of thunder, some drizzle too. Highs in the lower 50s, a southeast wind becoming west in the afternoon, and will turn a little gusty. Overnight, breezy, mostly cloudy in mid-40s. Sunshine returns on Veterans Day. Right now, it's 51.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out.
And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, Jim Santel, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, is in the host chair for The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I knew a man called him Sandy Kane. You folks even knew his name. But a hero, yes, was he.
This is New Wisco Weekend. For WISS and WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story. Tom Allen Swearingen is a chef at Pine Hills Golf and Supper Club. He got his start in the military when he was stationed at the Pentagon. He appeared on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor show recently. Here's a part of that interview with Jim Schmidt and John Mino.
You were the chef in the military, and people might think grub food, but not you.
But at the White House, right, even?
Pentagon.
Pentagon. And when the VIPs would come out to...
Almost, yeah. I joined the Air Force to travel the world, and the world came to see me.
That's awesome.
So how was it with hosting people, like you said, when out in Kuwait, when the VIPs would show up? I mean, did he get you the right food, or was it like, were you scrambling? How was it cooking
Air
for those
Force
people?
Air Force eats pretty well,
Air Force
right?
eats well, yeah. So we were... Al Jaber, Kuwait.
Yeah.
So we had, a couple of different places. So steak and lobster every Thursday night. That's
really?
How the Air Force rolls. So one of the larger bases, Kuwait, Ali Asalim, not Asalim, Al Udeid Air Force Base in Qatar. 10,000 people, steak and lobster every Thursday night.
Wow. Now, did you have that when you went over there?
Yeah, we did. I mean, you guys really, we were the JCOC, the Joint yep. Civilian Orientation Corps. You were, I don't know if you were the chef then, but you guys really put on a great meal and great tour, everything about it. And tell me about the Pentagon. How was it?
Yeah.
Were they nice to you? I mean, were they picky eaters?
So, those guys so are kind actually, of full of them. Actually, when you're in the Pentagon, you don't wear a military uniform. So because I'm working for the boss, the SecDef. So it's a butler.
Who's the boss?
It was... The last one I worked for was William Cohen,
okay.
Secretary of Defense.
Wow.
So we're there cooking just for the Secretary of Defense's office, undersecretaries. So it would be like the professors from Yale and Harvard and that gets invited in there. General Colin Powell was there when I was there.
Wow.
So I was cooking bacon cheeseburgers for General Colin Powell on a day.
No kidding.
Monday through Friday. So that was kind of a neat thing. But so you're walking all throughout the Pentagon. You don't have to salute a single person. So that was kind of as an E-4, so I was 20.
Sergeant, sort of.
I was 22 years old, 21 years old, walking around. And everything I'm doing is for the Secretary of Defense. So
wow.
Everybody's bosses.
How did you get that job? I mean, that's got to be one of the most.
So I was at Langley Air Force Base, 19 years old, Airman right. of the Year.
Which is in Washington, pretty close, right? Maryland?
Yeah. Right. Well, just south of Washington,
D.C. Virginia.
So by Virginia Beach.
The headquarters of like the
Air Combat Command.
Yeah, everything. You know? Right.
So I was Airman of the Year of Air Combat Command. And then they got 19 years old, almost 20. Part of the incentives for Airman of the Year got to fly an F-15.
Wow.
Not even 20 years old, fly
Where'd
an F-15. O'Connell Falls.
Wow.
Grew up in O'Connell Falls.
Wow. And you're 19, 20 years old doing this stuff?
And I got to fly an F-15. So the guy, a bet that goes on by the pilots. How quick can you make your co-pilot sick?
Make him barf, right?
Yeah, it did not take him long, and they didn't want that flight suit back.
That's incredible.
So I basically met, it wasn't more of what I knew, it's who I knew. So Air Combat Command, my bosses knew a lot of people in the Pentagon. So when they went, I'm like, hey, how about me?
So had you had experience growing up in O'Connell Falls in a restaurant or something? I mean, how did
We own the Falls family restaurant.
Got
so
it.
Most of the people I was working around came in for college money. And essentially, some wanted to cook, some of them didn't care. and I ran circles around them. So
it was your passion.
Yeah, it was easy for me. It came easy. So I didn't even need a tech school to learn how to do what I was doing in the military.
Wow.
My mom made me.
That's phenomenal. I think it's really cool that Colin Powell liked his bacon cheeseburger.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah.
You know,
next time he comes here, you got to bring his bacon cheeseburger. Exactly the way you did it for Colin Powell. Yeah.
But I bet you these guys all had their little niches, right? Or was it were they prima donnas, or were they good to you?
So actually, the undersecretaries, the people that were sitting in the offices, they were sweet people. One time I brought it was during the inauguration, President Clinton's inauguration. Mm-hmm. So the Secretary of Defense is going to it, asked for a Diet Coke or a Coke to go up to his office. I'm bringing it up there. He knew my first name. That's how nice these people were.
Wow.
The people that got uptight was the sergeant major I worked for.
They just have to show their power sometimes.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I was gonna say you're probably getting too much credit.
Yeah,
you
know? I was a young airman working for the Army. That was even a big culture shock right there.
Wow. So did you serve the president at the time?
Actually, at that time, so he's coming in for a night meal.
Okay.
I did all the prep for it, and because of Secret Service, they limited the staff. So all the prep was there. So the young guys probably need to go away.
Step aside.
Yeah.
Wow.
But actually, when William Cohen went into office, President Clinton came by. We had a lobster boil right on the river entrance of the Pentagon. So they had a bonfire right on the – you can't do that now.
No, right? Well, that's cool.
How was the supply chain? Like, did you get what you needed, or do we – I would think that was a high priority for them, right? To get the right food and fresh food.
The one thing that like that's different with being overseas and being stateside, when you're at a deployed location, no food cost. We ran dining facilities 24 hours a day. If you were hungry, you came in. So that's the big thing. They had absolutely in the 2000s, early 2000s was not a problem to get food.
And you say no food cost, so a budget thing wasn't. That wasn't over your head.
That's how you do steak and lobsters every Thursday night.
Well, the Air Force takes pride in that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, when people make fun of the Air Force, but the Air Force, like, darn right we had lobster.
Yeah. So we had a Patriot missile site in Kuwait, and they got the young soldiers out there got in trouble by they damaged a Humvee, injured a guy, sent him back to Germany. They were told, you guys can look at the Air Force dining facility, but you're going to eat out by your missiles.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Wow.
That was their punishment for a month.
So how many years were you in?
20 years.
20 years. Wow. That's 20 phenomenal. Years. And what did you end up as?
I'm a retired master sergeant.
What do you do now?
So I work at a school district. That's my main gig. Farthest thing in the world that I thought I'd be from, so I do school nutrition.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice.
And then Pine Hills is, you can only serve school nutrition so much, and I like to do the fancy tomato roses and different things on plates. So I do a part-time job with Pine Hills.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
That's fantastic.
Hey, out of the military, 20 years, you've done a lot. I mean, really from the Pentagon to Kuwait, did a favorite job or anything you'd recommend to a kid that, I mean, I think every kid would like to probably be a chef like you and serve that. I mean, but your career path was more on kind of who you knew, right? Or
But you
still had to have the skills.
Well, so when you get in there, and that's like most jobs, it was mostly attitude, you know. It came in, I was always, like, we go in at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, you show up early. If you're 15 minutes early, you're 15 minutes late.
Wow. Right.
Yeah. Why did you choose Air Force?
My dad was drafted into Vietnam. So he was Army. He goes, when we were talking about when I was in high school, where I'm going to go, he goes, he didn't care for the draft and, because he only did 18 months, his 2 years back. And then he goes, if you're going to go, just don't choose the Army.
Yeah. I mean,
I guess he didn't like his treatment.
There's a few people that I don't know what you're going to do, but I can tell you what you shouldn't do, you know, like your dad. But out of all the jobs you had in the military, what do you like the best?
I would say, so my last station was, I retired out of Madison, the 115th. So the Wisconsin units that I worked in were unbelievable.
We're talking how you cook for president, generals, students. Do you have a favorite?
National Defense?
I mean, but favorite
group?
Not a favorite group.
Favorite type of food?
I guess I'd like to know a favorite group now that you say that. But is there something you really like to cook?
What do you hang your hat on?
Yeah.
Before I came to Green Bay is a sports bar town.
Yeah.
Burgers.
Let's be honest.
You know, yeah. That's what we have here. I was actually a confectionery artist. So
wow.
Cakes, wedding cakes. For the SecDef's Christmas party, I did a 7-foot-long gingerbread city. Little ice skating rink in the center.
Oh, my God.
Wabi Lake Lodge, incredible. I did a huge gingerbread house with stained glass windows out of Jolly Ranchers, and it looked awesome.
What are you doing this Christmas?
Swear and Jim was a guest of Mino and the Mayor, airing weekdays from 6 until 9 a.m. at 98.3 WISS and 97.9 WGBW.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago.
There's a group in Wisconsin Rapids devoted to making quilts for veterans. Melissa Kay reports.
The Material Girls Quilting Club in Wisconsin Rapids have participated with Quilts of Valor since 2016. The Quilts of Valor Foundation has volunteers around the country who donate their time and materials to make healing quilts for veterans. I spoke with several members of the club in May of last year before the Quilts of Valor ceremony where they honored 45 women veterans.
Well, what we do is we actually assemble kits and then our membership takes a kit home and they either sew it by themselves or they sew it with friends and then they bring the top back. And then we take and cut batting and the backing and then it goes into it's almost like a holding pattern at an airport. And then it goes to Lori, and Lori takes, and then she finds someone to do the long arming. And then it comes back, and then another member will take it home, and they'll put the binding on. So there's a lot of opportunities to do volunteer work without having to do the whole thing start to finish. The Quilts of Valor program it's in its 21st year. So, and it started with Catherine Roberts.
Yep.
And the first quilt that was awarded was to a soldier from Minnesota at Walter Reed Hospital.
Over in D.C.
In D.C., yep.
Wow. That's really something. And do each one of you want to tell me what your favorite part of being involved in this program?
I think it's the award ceremony day, I think, is the favorite part. You walk away. Every experience is different. Every recipient has a different
reaction.
We've talked to World War II vets. I enjoy the interviewing. I don't enjoy writing the interviews, but I enjoy interviewing. and just, you know, everybody's personal story as to what they did in service. And we hear a lot, I don't deserve a award. I don't deserve a quilt. I wasn't in a war. But it takes everybody to make it function, and they deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was telling me a couple of days ago that she knew of a female, because I was talking about her presentation coming up, and she said, well, she didn't deserve a award because she was just a nurse. I'm like, you were just a nurse in a war, and you don't deserve a Quilt of Valor. Oh, boy. I mean, you want to talk, everybody that went, like you said, deserves it.
Yeah.
They gave of their time, their self, their family. They deserve a Quilt of Valor.
You can find out how to donate at qovf.org. I'm Melissa Kay for New Wisco Weekends.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute, we'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our head. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list and a statue of liberty.
will start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide.
Coming up, how music is helping members of the military. First, did you know that there is a Veterans Day moment of silence? President Barack Obama signed the act in 2016. It orders silence at 1:11 p.m. our time on November 11th. This is New Wisco Weekend.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. Often we talk about the healing power you can find in music, and there's a growing number of programs centered around military veterans sharing their stories through music. One is called Warrior Songs. Terry Barr joins musician Kelsey Miles in studio to learn more about the project, and we get to hear a song written for it.
It's a really cool project. It's by a nonprofit organization, and it's really using music to facilitate the healing of veterans, and in particular, for female veterans after their service.
Why do you think tying music into veterans and their lives moving forward, how does that make a difference for them?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, and I can't speak from experience, but just from the testimonials that I was given to help with the songwriting process and the people I've talked to, you know, music is just a way to really kind of organize things that have happened in your head and to project them in a way that helps you come to terms with things or to make you feel connected to maybe others who have felt that way. So I think music in general makes us feel that way. But in particular for this case, it sounds like it was really helpful for a lot of veterans to have this. I mean, the main reason I got into music was because I was going through a hard time and music kind of found me.
Do you feel that this CD can touch just about any person if they're going through a tough time?
I think so. I think that there's a lot of things that are relevant to a lot of different people. I mean, this was based off of female veteran testimonials, yeah. So it really is geared more towards that. But I think it reaches even more than just female veterans, veterans in general. And I think a lot of people would appreciate to hear some of these songs.
Yeah. All right, this song is called Sacrifice Ignored. I got testimonials from 5 different female veterans.
Oh, wow.
And the theme on all of their testimonials was that they felt like after their service, some people disrespected what they had done and maybe didn't give them the accolades that they deserved. So it's called Sacrifice Ignored. One Sunday afternoon, I was heading out of the grocery store. I bought some food for the family I love and adore. Smiling away, cause I was catching up on those memories I missed while I was at war. When a middle-aged man walked my way, and I pointed at the sticker on the back of my car. And he looked me in the eyes and said, ma'am, I want to thank your husband for his service and his time. Oh, not again. He ain't seen a soldier like me. Oh, was my sacrifice. Yeah, was my sacrifice. And oh, hey, was my sacrifice. My sacrifice. All when my grin began to fade, and I tried to explain that no, it wasn't my husband. And the man's grin grew larger as he guessed it was my brother, or my uncle, or my father. Well, patience came over me, and I told him it was me, and I was proud to say I served my country. Oh, and the grin began to fade, and he looked the other way, confused by the truth of my story. Well, he ain't seen a soldier like me. Maybe he didn't want to believe. Oh, was my head sacrifice? Yeah, was my sacrifice? No, yeah, was my sacrifice? My sacrifice? No. Oh, and inside my head, I thought, oh no, not again. But the man gave me one more surprise. He apologized and said, thank you for your time. And then he turned and he walked away. And the groceries that I held grew heavy, and I felt like my sacrifice was ignored. And I wonder how many more are fighting this new war in the country they made sacrifices for. I guess he ain't seen a soldier like me. Why is it so hard for people to see? Hey, was my sacrifice? Hey, was my sacrifice? No, hey, was my sacrifice? My sacrifice? No, was my sacrifice? My sacrifice? No, hey, was my sacrifice? Hey, my sacrifice? My sacrifice? My sacrifice won't be ignored.
Wow. Wow. I got to ask you the songwriting process then.
Yeah.
You get these testimonials, and five of them, you write one song from these five testimonials. How in the world did you pull that together with that? I mean, that song is incredible.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. So I read five of them, and I saw this common theme, right, in what was going on. And a lot of it was taken from one of them mainly about this story as she went to the, you know, the grocery store. And I embellished, you know, try to make this story, you know, just flow a little better. But, you know, she just said she went to the grocery store and she had a sticker on the back of her car. And a middle-aged man came out and said, hey, you know, I just want to thank your husband, you know. And she just said, and she wrote, and then in line she said, I felt like my sacrifice was ignored. And I was like, that's the song. In part of the song where I'm writing about their perspective, it was based off of all the other testimonials. So kind of the idea of the story, you know, came from her testimonial of it actually happening to her. And then the perspective of talking about it in the song, of talking about how they felt, came kind of from just what the women were writing about, how they felt when things like that have happened to them.
Have they heard the songs?
Yeah, so they sent them out to the people that got testimonials, and like didn't get much feedback, but they liked it and they put it on the first track for the album. So I don't know.
So it kicks off the album.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was really honored though to be able to write this, and I hope I hope that I did it justice, you know, because that topic is, I've never experienced that because I'm not a veteran, but I hope I, you know, relayed that message and was able to be their voice in music. The best I could. I was just so honored to be asked to do. How cool, right? Like, you know, to take someone's story and then to turn it into something. So I was really honored to do that.
You can find more music written with and for veterans at warriorsongs.org. Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend and our Veterans Day issue. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels. Featuring stories by Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, Pete Schwaba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. This week we had special appearances by John Mino and Jim Schmidt. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Monday is Veterans Day. I'll be doing a portion of the show from the Duck Creek VFW Breakfast for Veterans.
And Brian Gottlieb from Tundraland joins us to talk about their Baths for the Brave program. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.